Is it permissible to eat out on the Sabbath or not?
First of all, Exodus 16. Now, Exodus 16 gives the first commands to the children of Israel of what to do on the Sabbath when they were in the wilderness. And he told them that this was to, he told them that in the morning there would be manna, 6 days you would gather it, then on the preparation day you would gather twice as much and it wouldn't breed worms and stink. They were to keep the Sabbath, and everyone at that point was to stay in his own tent. That means stay right, he could probably get outside of his tent, you know, be right there. But he was not to leave his tent and go wandering out and go to pick up manna, like one man said, well, I'll go out on the Sabbath, see if I can get some. Or later, where a man went out on the Sabbath to pick up wood, he knew better. But let's look at the circumstances of what we have here. They were in the wilderness. There was no place to go. God was right there. They kept the Sabbath in the letter. And we can strongly say for sure they weren't converted. Okay? They weren't converted. And so we will see that conversion will also play a role in helping to answer the question, how do we deal with it today? We can all unanimously concur. We are not in the desert, and we're not staying in tents, and the pillar of fire and cloud is not hanging over this hotel. We can conclude that. So the circumstances for them was quite a bit different than circumstances we're faced with. Now, when we read the commandment, let's go to Exodus 20 since we're right here. Exodus 20, where he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your livestock, nor the stranger within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and sanctified it. Now, a comment was brought up in our discussion on Wednesday night that if we eat out on the Sabbath, we are not remembering the Sabbath. And I don't think you can make a connection that you're forgetting the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath. We remember the Sabbath. And for a lot of us, it's been decades and decades, right? Yeah, for me, it's been, why? Next year will be 50 years. Got a long way to go catch up with the Watts. They've been married 62 already. Bob and Elaine Honeycutt, 58 years. Well, we've been married 44. We'll be 45 this year. Aunt Kate's 55, 59. Well, we're just young whippersnappers. And all during that time, I have not forgotten the Sabbath. I have remembered it and have kept it. Now, when the children of Israel came into the Promised Land, they were to be a nation that followed God's laws. And we see the remnant of that in Nehemiah 13. And the whole nation was to keep the Sabbath. In that case, there is no question if everyone kept the Sabbath, right? And they were supposed to have enough synagogues so that they could all go to a local church. They could all walk there. But unfortunately, the situation never worked out ideally the way that I just described. Had it been that, they could have all kept the Sabbath, all shops would have been closed, all gates would have been closed, all strangers within the land would keep the Sabbath as well. But were they converted? No. No. Even in Jesus' day, they had difficulties trying to define what was doing good on the Sabbath. And we'll just interject that here because we said we'd cover it too. What about doing good on the Sabbath? Now, what if you belong to the Humane Society? And your good deed is every Sabbath morning you go down and take care of the dogs, and sometimes you don't show up for church. Well, you could say that doing good would keep you away from the Sabbath. You may not have forgotten it, but you misused the Sabbath, and that certainly could become sin, unless it were an emergency. And I've known people who thought they were doing good to help take care of dogs on the Sabbath at a dog show. A little further fudging down the road, okay. So those are clear examples of what not to do. Now let's look at a situation where things began to change when Jesus was dealing with his disciples and they were doing a lot of extensive travel and walking. And I am sure more than a Sabbath day's journey, which is likened to 3/4 of a mile. Well, let's come to Mark, the second chapter. No, let's stop at Mark 3 first, and then we'll go back, since we are talking about doing good. Mark, the third chapter. Mark 3, let's pick it up in verse 1, page 997. And again he went into the synagogue, and a man who had a withered hand was there. And they were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, in order that they might accuse him. Well, let's stop and think about this. Were those in the synagogue keeping the Sabbath? No, they weren't. They were there on the Sabbath, but they weren't keeping the Sabbath, because of what was going on up here. Isn't that correct? See? But they were there. And remember John the 8th chapter, when they were at the temple, and they were there during the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Notice I didn't say keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And what did Jesus say? Who that their father was? Satan the devil. So just because you are in a certain place at a certain time on the Sabbath day does not necessarily mean you're keeping it or you're remembering it. Now, what if the minister helps you break the Sabbath while you're there in the congregation by talking about something that is so elementary and boring that you start daydreaming about what you would like to be doing? All right. a lousy Sabbath, right? You'd have to say, well, no, you're really not keeping the Sabbath. See? So here they are, man with a withered hand, and they were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath in order that they might accuse him. Then he said to the man who had the withered hand, stand up here in the center. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill life? And they were silent. So how would you do good today? Say, you went to Sabbath in the morning and you wanted to do something that was good. Well, how about visiting the sick? That would be doing good. Yes. How about visiting even a widow who is not in the church, who is just dead alone and terribly lonely, and you go visit her? That would be doing good. How about if someone in the church happens to have unfortunately had an accident, is in the hospital, and you go visit that person? That's doing good on the Sabbath, according to what Jesus did here in healing. How about if you're a baseball fan and you take your iPod, put a sermon in it, put your earplugs in your ears, and run on down to the local baseball field and watch a game while you listen to a sermon? Are you keeping the Sabbath? Well, you're just sitting there. Once in a while you stand up and clap. You know, you don't use too much energy. No, you're not keeping the Sabbath. What if you're sitting dead still at home, and it's just you and God, and it's a Sabbath day, and you sit there and watch television all day long? You've rested, haven't you? You didn't exert yourself, did you? But your mind was on the television and not on God. So you didn't keep the Sabbath, did you? No. So you can think of many different examples. So let's read on and see what he said. And after looking around at them with anger, so here's righteous indignation. And I don't think Jesus' face was too kindly when he looked around on them with anger. You know, it didn't say that he's a handsome, beautiful man that everyone would desire. It said of him that there was nothing comely or beautiful about him that he should desire. And I just imagine he had very penetrating, piercing eyes when he looked at people, because he was God manifested in the flesh. So when he looked around on them in anger, he probably had going through his mind, these are the same descendants that rejected me while I was giving the Ten Commandments to Moses on the mountain. And here they're at it again, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. So you know, the Sabbath to them on that day was worthless, as far as their attitude goes. Be like today. What if someone came in and sat down like this, arms folded, granite face, every once in a while sitting in the back when a comment is made about the truth? He was there, but he wasn't keeping the Sabbath, right? Okay. So we do have to have preparation, but it's also how do we use the Sabbath? All right, let's go on. So he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as sound as the other. Then the Pharisees left and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Wonderful Sabbath conversation on very spiritual things, right? Oh, they didn't keep the Sabbath. On another occasion, when Jesus healed, he told them, because they were all upset because he healed on the Sabbath, and he said, he healed this man on the Sabbath, and don't even you you Pharisees, you scribes? Don't you, if your donkey falls in a ditch, go help him out? Or if your lamb falls in a pit, go pull it out? And doesn't this man deserve to be healed on the Sabbath? Now let's see something else here. Before we get to Mark 2, let's come back here to Isaiah. We'll be back here to Mark, so just kind of fold over some pages there. Isaiah 58. Talks about the Sabbath here, Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you will turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires, in other words, don't do what you want to do, on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and honor him, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words. Find the Sabbath day, you know, I've had people say, they go to church, and afterwards they're talking to the brethren, and they talk about everything except maybe the sermon or the Word of God. Well, it's interesting to know what's going on in your life, but it is also a challenge to the one who is doing the teaching that you give some teaching that is worthwhile enough that the brethren can talk about it after they have heard it. And if you talk about your life, talk about how God has helped you, intervene for you, and things like that. Speaking God's word. Okay. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the inheritance of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let me check something else here. Let's come to Isaiah 56. Now here's where I will have to confess to you that computer correction of words can go astray. So let's pick it up here in verse 1. I'll show you where it is when we get to it. We've corrected it for the second edition. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps his Sabbath from profaning it. Profaning means going out and doing your own business, speaking your own words, seeking your own pleasures, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. And we can add in there, controls your mind so you're not thinking any evil. And do not let the son of the stranger who has joined himself to the Lord speak in his heart, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. And do not let the official, that should read eunuch. In Daniel, we had it official, because not all of those in the court of Nebuchadnezzar who served him were eunuchs. But here in this case, he is saying this should be eunuch. So we've got it corrected. Someone asked me the question, what does that mean? And we didn't realize the slip of the, you know, search and replace from eunuch to official. Should not have been done here. Behold, I am a dry tree. Thus says the Lord to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath and chooses the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. So there it is for them to keep the Sabbath. Let's begin asking the question, based upon what we have covered here, how then do we keep the Sabbath? Now let's begin with something very simple. What if you keep the Sabbath in your own home? You don't go anywhere. There are a lot of people that way. What should you do? Well, as Glenn said, you should prepare. Preparation for us is a snap. If you want to have chicken, you want to cook it ahead of time, it's done in an hour. But before the time we could say this postmodern time that we live in, if you wanted to have a chicken for Sabbath, you better get out there about 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and you better get the chicken out of the chicken yard that you want to hack off the head or wring off the head, and then you kill it, and then you bleed it, and then you clean out the intestines, and then you take all the feathers off, and then you cool it down, and now you're ready to cook it. Oh, Dolores says that's a beautiful operation. She used to see her grandmother do it. She'd make pets out of her chickens so they would come up and eat out of her hand, and she'd go, whoop! Grab one by the neck, pick it up, wring it like that in her hand, throw the chicken out. It'd get up and run around the yard, you know, good way to get all the blood out. Heart pumping, all the blood's gone. Good chicken, though. She said it was really delicious, especially after the feathers were gone. Now, if you wanted a roast, that's a different proposition. Do you want to kill a little calf? You want to kill a goat? Now, you've killed goats, right? Okay, that's a little bit of work, isn't it? All right. Today, if you want a roast, you just run down to the supermarket to buy the roast all ready to go, correct? Now, when you put the things in the oven to cook or cook on top of the stove, you don't have to have already split kindling, already gathered all the small little chips that you need for the fire to go. You don't have to have, see, because they didn't have matches back then, so you'd have to start the fire. And if you're smart, you'd always keep a little fire going and a little pot of coals going all the time, so that way you could get your fire going. Or the way they had it, they had to put the fire, they had their clay ovens outside, which were built up about this high, and they had the in the front where they could put the wood, and then they would have the fire going, and then the heat from the smoke would come up on the back side, come up under the oven, because the oven would be like a beehive on the top, and the smoke would come up the back side, and the whole oven would be hot because of that. Now that takes some time to do. Same way with baking bread. So stop and think of how you would prepare a meal without a refrigerator. You get everything out of your garden, or you have to go down to the bazaar and buy it down there where it's sold on Friday. You have to come home and get it all prepared and get ready for the Sabbath. A lot of work involved. Today, it's a snap. Does turning on a light switch constitute igniting a fire? No. Does turning on an electric stove involve a great deal of work for cooking? No. So you see, our whole preparation day to day is entirely different. So we need to understand that. Let's ask another question. If you're home alone, even with all the modern conveniences that are there, say you listen to a CD or you watch a DVD, you do some Bible study, maybe you even take a nap, and you get up and your wife or you and your children have another Bible study that afternoon, and in the wintertime, Sabbath is over about 5 o'clock. In the summertime, here in western Ohio, we see the sun going down at 8:30. See, so you have to adjust everything according to that. There's no need for you to eat out. None. Now, are there circumstances if you are traveling where that may be necessary?
Well, let's come back to Mark 2 and let's see something here. Mark 2 and verse 23. Mark 2 and verse 23. Now let's look at the circumstances that we have here, and then we will add on to that when we get done with this. Go into all the world, to all nations. And I think we will see that presents a different set of circumstances, wouldn't you say? All right. Verse 23, now it came to pass as he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and as his disciples made their way through the fields, they were picking and eating the grain. Now it does say in the book of Exodus, you're to keep the Sabbath in seed time, in harvest time, all the time, right? You're not to harvest on the Sabbath. Now, granted, this wasn't full-fledged harvesting, but they were picking and eating. Doesn't tell us how much they were taking. They were probably taking whatever they needed to, you know, satisfy their hunger at that particular time. Now, what does this tell us that they were hungry? Why would they be hungry? Because they probably have been traveling, walking a long ways. So we can be almost guaranteed that they did a lot of walking even on the Sabbath day. Not every Sabbath day, but on a lot of Sabbath days. So the Pharisees said to him, look at them. They're doing that which is not lawful on the Sabbath.